God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Hi, Rick. Okay. Don't know. Before I introduce our facilitator, Mary Pat, I just want to make an announcement that if anybody will be making a comment or asking a question later on, and if you do want that recorded on the CD or on the website, you will need to sign off. So you'll need to sign your name. I will put this on the side table where the translator is, and I have a pen. It's my good pen, so don't take it. And please sign off on that, okay? Thank you. Okay, again, this is the Freedom of Resentment workshop. Mary Pat hails from Ventura County, California. She's been in the program since around 1998, and she's worked, been involved in all sorts of service levels. She has a sponsor, she sponsors, and has helped support many people in the CEA HAL program. She was actually on the World Service Board for 1 year, and she was also spent four years as a chair and several years as treasurer of the Ventura County Intergroup. She's 6 years as the chair of the Ventura County retreat. It's an annual retreat in Santa Barbara. I've heard it's great. And she's participated in many workshops and conventions. And I know I've seen her before, and you probably also have. So let's give a warm welcome to Mary Pat. Thank you.
How about a hug? Can't forget our eyes. Hi, my name is Mary Pat. I'm a compulsive eater food addict. And I hope we're on okay here. Everything's cool, not hearing anything. I apologize for the air conditioner situation, and it's really funny because I hate being really cold in these rooms, and I was really glad to hear that we were going to be able to adjust each room, and you know everybody's going to be happy with that, but apparently somebody has adjusted this thermostat so low that it's knocked out the air conditioning. So I think we have that resolved, and the air conditioner should kick in, and if it gets cold, I'm going to start jittering. So, you know, we're just going to have to work with this. And first of all, I want to thank Anne for asking me to lead a workshop, and you know, when she first mentioned the topic, I know that for me, in my recovery, it's the resentments that really kept me sick for a really long time. And it was learning how to deal with those resentments and learning how to be honest and learning how to tell my truth that I was, you know, I'm at the level of recovery that I am today. Which, you know, for most days I'm pretty peaceful and serene and full of gratitude. And I really, I've thought a lot about this workshop. I have a worksheet that I'm going to hand out, and it's really going to be a workshop. And you guys are going to do some work. And because that's how we heal, is putting the pen to the paper. And that's, you know, been one of the greatest gifts for me is learning how to do that and knowing, you know, although my MO is I couldn't do anything right, you know, and I had to really be convinced by doing the action that if I did, that I would start healing. And that's been my path. I first got into recovery like over 24 years ago, and it was a few years after that that I was told that there was recovery from food addiction, and I went to an OA meeting, which was a new meeting, and it was a brown bag meeting, which, you know, just didn't make a lot of sense for me to go to a meeting and take my lunch with me. But I'll never forget that meeting because people sat around and they talked about the crazy things that they did with food. And I'd never really heard anybody talk about the crazy things that I did with food. You know, the compulsiveness, the overeating, the digging out of trash, the you know, the hiding, the lying, the all those things that, you know, I thought I was the only one that did that. And at the time, I really didn't have a lot of weight to lose. The only thing is I knew that my compulsion had taken over after I got clean and sober. My just, you know, switched addictions. And so I was really out of control with the food. And I didn't get a whole lot of guidance as to how to stop that, other than it was a relief for me to go to those OA meetings and to, you know, share my thoughts on food and help me know something just changed here. You know, that I wasn't really that crazy and that there was recovery from being a compulsive eater. And it was a few years later that someone walked into the room who had been in the rooms, and she had totally transformed from, you know, a pretty overweight person, pretty bitter person, into this happy person with a glow in her eyes, and she had lost a lot of weight. And I couldn't wait for that meeting to be over so that I could ask her what kind of diet she was on. And, of course, the diet she was on is that she had found a HOW program, and that it was a very structured program. They had a food plan. They, you know, you had to have a sponsor. You had to do all this writing and, you know, come on with me. So I did that, and it was a new program in the area that I lived at the time, and the only person that stood up and qualified to be a sponsor had 30 days, and that was, I watched her step up that day. And, of course, I asked her to be my sponsor. And it was just amazing to go through that process of learning how to write down my food and trying to fit the food that was in my freezer into the food plan. Because, I mean, what do you mean? I can't ever eat that package of frozen food that's all prepared for me, and I just have to drop it in some boiling water? That's just so simple. And it was kind of measured. But anyway, she said, no, I won't ever get to eat that food. So it took me a couple of weeks to eat all the food that I had that wasn't on the food plan. So, I mean, because I'm not going to throw it away, you guys. So that was my first stint in HOW, and I think I had 40 pounds to lose, which I did within the year, and I kept my abstinence, and, you know, the program grew, and I was up in Northern California at the time. And then I had the privilege of taking a trip to Europe, and I know a lot of you guys have heard me say this, but it's just a part of my story, that I didn't think that there was enough vegetables in Europe for me. And so, therefore, I broke my abstinence on the airplane, went to Europe, and just binged my little brains out the whole time I was there. And when I came back, I hadn't gained any weight because I was walking a lot. And so I convinced myself that, well, I'm not a compulsive eater, I guess. You know, I'm just going to do this on my own. And the real truth of that is I was so embarrassed that I had slipped, that I was not going to walk into a meeting and say that. And so I kind of did it on my own for a while, and then my life changed. I moved down to Southern California, and I was really unhappy. I was really lonely, and I wasn't able to tell that truth to anybody. I was, you know, I sat on my couch, and I ate, and I ate, and I ate. And about 75 pounds and 5 years later, I finally knew I had to find the C-HOW, or the HOW program. And I did go, I found OA in Santa Barbara, and I started going to those meetings, and they didn't have HOW, and I thought, well, God just doesn't want me to go to HOW because there's no meetings here. And so I struggled, you know, for another couple years with that and not getting it. And this almost exactly the same thing happened. Somebody walked into the meeting that had not been around for a while, and she had lost weight, she had a sparkle in her eye, and she was talking recovery. And after the meeting, she told me that she had found a CEA HOW meeting, And of course, see, what happened was that OA and Howe had had this big tumultuous thing happen while I was out there, and I didn't know that. And so that's why I couldn't find CEA Howe, because I didn't know that you guys had been born. And so I did go to that CEA Howe meeting in my area, and I was totally shocked when about 20 people stood up and qualified, and they had been maintaining weight loss for a couple of years, you know, and I just thought that was a miracle, because I didn't hear that in any other program. So, and I remember driving home that day too, just the name of our program, Compulsive Eaters Anonymous. You know, I really related to that. I am a compulsive eater. I wasn't, you know, like, I don't know why that makes such a difference to me, that it's, you know, whether it's overeating or compulsively eating, but I relate to compulsively eating. So I had really found home, and I got a wonderful sponsor, and I became very active in that group. And, you know, that was almost 12 years ago. And I'm really glad to say that I have stayed here ever since. I've, you know, as Lynette announced, I got really heavy into service, because I knew that that would keep me there, and it would keep me proud. And I, you know, we had wonderful retreats up in Santa Barbara, and everything was going strong for quite a while, but it's really been faltering the last couple of years. But I'm really glad that we can be here and participate in the convention. And you know, there's a few people in this room that were there at that first meeting, and it's just a miracle to me that there are those of us who can stick around and stay grateful, and I'm just really glad I'm one of those. What I mentioned is the writing part of this, and the translator, I hope I'm supposed to be pausing every once in a while. I'll try to remember to do that better. Here's my little notes. I'll put it right there. And, you know, I've heard so many wonderful panels and speakers today. I just, you know, I'm at the literature table, so people like from all over the country are here amongst us, and it's just so wonderful to meet these people that, you know, this is a real gathering of recovery. And the one thing that I heard this morning that I've heard before, and I'm really going to try to put it in my daily practice of recovery, and that is to invite God into the room first. You know, when you open a door, you say you first, and let God go first. And I know I've done that in the past, and, you know, things kind of come and go, and I'm just really glad to have been reminded of that. And the other God thoughts that I try to keep really up in my day is, you know, if I'm making a decision or I'm talking about something, or, you know, is it God's will, is it my will, is whose will is it out there? And if I'm doing that, you know, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, I mean, for me, that's a no. I mean, it's not God's will. If I keep, you know, and I just say shut up and come back later, and then when I do with the same scenario, it feels good. Then it's God's will, you know. And sometimes God just says wait and doesn't have an answer for us. And you know, I've had a few of those lately, and I'm glad that I can recognize that today and know that, you know, God is in charge. And if I can just let it go, all will be well. On this overcoming resentment and fear, this worksheet I'm going to go over, and what I'm going to do is hand it out pretty soon and let you take a look at it and start doing some writing. And the the thing about dealing with resentments that I have found is just learning how to tell the truth and acknowledging my part in things, and mostly, you know, living amends, I think, is the best amend that we can do. Sometimes it's, you know, the direct amends are necessary, but it's always necessary to do a living amends. And when I was really debating over what topic did I want to go to, and it's, you know, and I prayed about it, and, you know, I kept coming up with something I didn't want to come up with. And so I finally decided, you know, that's kind of what got, I probably have some healing around this issue that I need to talk about. And that's around my mother. I had a huge resentment against my mom for a really long time, and I never, ever thought that I would learn to love her and to be a good daughter to her. And I'm glad to say that you know, you guys taught me how to do that. And she did pass away last year. She was almost 96 years old. And before that, you know, in the last 10 years of my being absent, being in this program, you know, I learned to forgive her. I learned to accept her. I learned that, you know, she did the best she could with the tools that she had. And, you know, when I first heard that when I was in recovery, I just thought that was bullshit. You know, I mean, come on. Because, you know, in my growing up years, it was my opinion that she could have done a whole lot more than she did to protect me. And I, you know, she didn't. And she was, you know, as self-centered and selfish as I was. And that's, you know, where I got it from. But this worksheet goes on to ask about my feelings about myself. I was always never good enough. My goals, I wanted to be a good wife and a good mother, and I didn't have a real good role model for that. My sense of security was injured because I couldn't trust my mom, and my personal relationships with every single personal relationship of mine was affected by this, because that was an underlying issue with me that I just, you know, that was just a part of me that I really needed to heal. And where was I wrong? What was my part in that? Mostly it was that I kept the secrets. Thank you, honey. This is my daughter. Yes, and she's my greeter today, and she's my support person, and I'm so happy she's here. I'll just take a little sip of that. So by keeping those secrets, it really resulted in, you know, the poor me's all my life. And and my fear about it was in telling my truth that it would cause me shame and grief that I just knew I couldn't handle. And I didn't have any experience of really being truthful. I mean, I thought I was a truthful person, but, you know, it was more cash register honesty. And I always told you what I thought you wanted to hear about me. You know, I didn't have an opinion. It wasn't worth repeating. It was like, what can I say that so that you'll like me? That was where that fear took me. But the solutions that I have found in this program is that you taught me how to love and how to forgive. And that began with me, you know, learning how to love myself, how to forgive myself for the injury that I had caused myself and others. And You taught me how to be a better daughter, to be a better mom, to be a better sister. And God helped me through all this process. And, you know, I didn't really go into that, but when I got here, I really thought that I had been tricked. I didn't like it when you guys talked about God. I did not want to hear about God. I, you know, had been raised with a punishing God that just filled me with fear. And I was so filled with fear when I got here. And, you know, you guys told me that I could define my God, that my God could be loving, that my God would hold me and carry me through situations that I felt so alone for all of my life. And so God's been sitting on my shoulder for a really long time and helping me through this stuff, because it hasn't been easy. But what I can tell you is it just, you know, has changed my life so much. And I am at such peace within myself. And, you know, and I've got a lot of family stuff always going on. I mean, both my parents are gone now. But the result of them, my two brothers and my sister and their families, you know, I mean, sometimes it just is, it's just overwhelming to think that life can be so insane. And through it all, I've got you guys and I've got my God. And I get through it, you know, and I know my phone's going to ring in the morning and I'm going to get to talk to sponsees. And I know that I'm going to write down my food and I'm going to call my sponsor. And I'm going to do my writing, I'm going to do my reading. And having those habits in my life has certainly changed my life. And the next item talks about, and I've mentioned it, about when possible and not harmful to make it right with the other person by making amends. And with my mom, it definitely was a living amends. I mean, it was about 10 years ago after I'd started this process that I started spending more time with my mom and her husband. And I made an effort to be there rather than, I mean, I moved 500 miles away because I didn't want to be there. You know, I didn't want to be in this area for lots of reasons, but that was truly one of them. And I would come home when I had to. You know, I never wanted to come, but I came when I had to. And then that just really turned around, and I would go visit my mom because I wanted to. You know, not just because it was a holiday, but because I wanted to really visit with her, and I really wanted to get to know her on a different level. And that started to happen. You know, my heart started to soften. I started to accept her on a level as, you know, and as an elder adult and guiding me how to start aging, you know, and how to follow in her footpath. Because I learned to be proud of her. You know, all the underlying, you know, the resentment and disgust that I had held in my heart for so many years just started to soften and started to go away. And, you know, then it ended up, I even went on vacation with her. I mean, I chose to go on vacation with her so that I could spend time and I could enjoy my mom. You know, and this, I mean, these are just miracles, you guys, that... And that it wasn't a have to. It was because I wanted to, you know, and because I learned to love her. And then her husband died a few years. You know, they're both in their 90s, and they were just so cute. And after he died, it really became an issue because, you know, she was 93 and couldn't really take care of herself. So what happened is she went into an assisted living home, much to her, I don't even know what the word is, kicking and screaming is what it was. But, you know, my sister and I really worked out a good plan, and it really worked, and God was on our side. And, you know, she woke up and... or went to her room for the first time and sat down, and it was just beautiful, and it had all of her own furniture and everything in it, and she looked up at my sister and said, "Did I win the lottery?" I mean, that's the difference between yesterday, I don't want to go, don't make me go, I'm going to, you know, shoot myself, to she was really happy. And the other good news about that was that she was close, lived physically close to my sister and her family. And my relationship with her is just kind of a whole nother story, but I won't get into that, but it just, we weren't very close. And so in the couple of years that my mom, in her final years, what happened was I went down every other weekend to visit my mom, and I would stay with my sister and her family. So that really created a whole new relationship for me and my sister, her husband, who I really never liked. And after a few visits down there, it occurred to me the reason I didn't like this guy is because he was so damn nice. You know? I mean, he would give me the shirt off his back and then some. And I just shied away from that. I mean, I could not handle that. And so, I mean, this is how God's worked in my life the last few years. So in this process of my mom aging and eventually dying, I got to visit with her often. I got to stay with my sister. And and now my sister and I are probably closer than we've ever been. And the one thing we did shortly after my mom died is we bought a timeshare in Hawaii because we thought mom would want us to do that. So, and this just a few weeks ago, we were there together, spending our vacation together again, in this beautiful, you know, condo in Maui, and it's just a miracle that this has all come around, and this is just how God has worked in my life, and it has started by me working on that resentment, and by me learning to love and let go of it and forgive. So I have this little exercise. I'm going to ask my little helper guys to come up and pass these out for me. If you, we do have some extra pens. If you need a pen. And what you'll see, Shelly's coming up in the back with some pens, and these guys will hand out the worksheets. And I've kind of gone through my own process. If you could start on that and write on the first question is, what am I resentful of? And, you know, just kind of write down the first thing that pops in your mind. I mean, whatever it is, it's going to be something that you can just work on and heal. It doesn't have to be something catastrophic like a parent, you know? Or, you know, like your life isn't, I doubt if your life's going to change when you walk out of the door, but I know that it's a real healing process, and I want to walk you through it. So for those listening on the tape, we're going to be doing some writing, and you could do it yourself. The first question is, what am I resentful of? Write about that. And we're going to be taking a little break on the tape, I guess. Just continue with all the questions as, you know, just We'll write for about 10 minutes. Another bit of information I've just been told is that you can download the handout on the website. And you'll be able to do that for all of the workshops this whole weekend. And you will also be able to download the CD for free on the website. Good information. So what I'd like to do now is to invite you to come up and to share with us what you have written, as much or all of what you want, or just you might just need to share something else. So we will just have an open mic for a while, and I would encourage you all to complete this process, if not now, at a later date, and please share with us.
Come on down.
Hi, I'm Claudette. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Claudette.
And I'm sharing this because I've learned that a burden shared is half as heavy, and mine is quite heavy right now. What am I resentful of? I'm resentful that my husband has dementia. What is the cause of my anger? Having to take care of him with him being verbally abusive and having to accept it because of his dementia. How does this affect my feelings about myself? I don't like feeling angry at him. My goals are on hold. My personal relationship, I don't really have a personal relationship with him anymore. We've been married 49 years. Number four, what mistakes have I made? Have I been self-centered, dishonest, inconsiderate, or afraid? Yes. The mistake I think I made is focusing on what I can't do, thinking only of how this is taking priority over everything that I want to do. Yes, I'm afraid. I'm afraid that I'll have to put him in a home, and I'm afraid that we won't have enough money to cover that because we don't have long-term care insurance. We do have a home. I'm afraid I'm going to have to sell it and take care of him. And five, setting aside what I think others have done, you have the question. My answer is, again, just focusing on his condition, and I just keep talking about it. And it's not helping. You know, I question sometimes whether I'm talking about it because I'm thinking poor me, or whether I'm talking about it because I'm trying to get rid of the burden. But that's what I wrote.
Okay. Who's next? All right.
Thank you for your share. I'm doing it because I don't want to. It's a contrary action. Thank you. Great workshop. I'm new, 32 days absent. So I know resentments are a big part of my compulsion. What am I resentful of? I put people and friends who shamed on me, control me. People who pull rank when trying to get you to conform to their way. It's a big one for me. What is the cause of my anger? Feeling that my way is wrong, that the way I am is the problem, because it's different than someone else's process. So thinking that I'm wrong, that makes me angry, or feeling wrong. How does this affect my feelings about myself, my goals, my sense of security, my personal relationships? I feel invalidated. I feel unheard. I feel as if my own instincts, which have not really failed me before, are being questioned. I feel invisible in a way. I feel unsupported. What mistakes have I had? Have I been self-centered, dishonest, inconsiderate, afraid? I've made many mistakes, and I'm not perfect. However, I am teachable and value authenticity in all my relationships. I value demonstrated compassion and patience in trying to change my behavior or someone else's. When I've not behaved this way on someone else's behalf, I've done great harm to others and to myself. Setting aside, so that's that. Number five, setting aside what I think others have done to me, honestly, where have I been wrong? I'm wrong to judge. I'm wrong to expect people affected by a variety of isms in modern life to be some other way. I often forget that most people are doing the best they can with whatever they are working with in any given moment. That includes me. What are my fears? That I'm not enough. That standing firm in what I feel in my guts is wrong or unpopular. That's as far as I got. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Janice, and I'm a compulsive eater. I've always had a hard time with resentment because I've always felt victimized and that I was such a people pleaser. So who would, you know, I never got into really thinking that I did anything wrong to anybody. So I had a hard time with the resentment. And so as I started doing this, you mentioned something about your family, and I thought about my brother who's passed on and how I really resented my sister-in-law. And so I wrote, you know, what is the cause of my anger, and I wrote down how I felt she treated my brother. And then when I got to the next question, how does this affect my feelings, and I really thought about it, I thought, wait a minute, this is about me. Yeah, this is about me. And I realized that, you know, she used to judge me. I always felt judged by her. And when that... Because I didn't get very far on this, because once I realized what I was actually feeling about some of these people that I have in my life, it just like opened the doors. And so I realized that it threw me back into my old self-beliefs of that I'm imperfect and that I'm a bad person. And what my goal is that, you know, that I'll never be good. And that... my sense of security is that, well, I'll always have to protect myself, and then I'll never trust others. And it's like for the first time I can, it's just kind of given me an outline of how to deal with everyone in my life. You know, if I start really looking at them, that especially my family. So I'm very thankful for this. Thank you.
Wait a second. No, come on. Jeez. There's two of you. No, right. I can sit here. Okay. Come on.
I don't know how much I got of this done, but
Well, my resentment is on my sister, one and only sister that's 9 years older than me, and my brother that is 11 years older. So I was like the bumper child, so I was, you know, separated from them. And as I got older and into recovery, I realized that the areas that I hadn't been supported in, there was events that took place, and I felt like I wasn't cared or valued. And I put, they were non-supporting, never tried to encourage me or help me or protect or nurture me. They were bad role models. There was no boundaries in the house I grew up in, so, you know, I had resentments over that. What is the cause of my anger? Not feeling loved or valued or loved. And how does this affect my feelings about myself, my goals, my sense of security, my personal relationships? Well, I feel angry. I feel resentment. I feel untrusting. I have to learn to forgive, but yet I'm feeling like, you know, I don't want to forgive because they done these things. Accept, set my boundaries, and speak up for myself. There's no loving or caring. There's just mental and physical or spiritual support. There was none. And she judged me a lot. Just lately, 6 months, 7 months ago, I told her to please don't bring my past into the table. If she wants to talk to me, leave me out of past things that went, unless she specifically wants to discuss some area that I've done something to her that was unfair. But don't say, I remember when you did this. Well, she's never called or cared to be associate with me, so she's put a condition there, and I don't know. What mistakes have I made? I'm probably with self-centered. I feel to survive the abuse, dishonest to myself for allowing family to use me and walk on me. Now, I would be. Then, I was too little to know. Setting aside what I think others have done to me honestly, where have I been wrong? Honestly, I was 9 years younger and 11 years younger from the brother. I don't feel like a lot of it was me. I feel like there was jealousy and self-centeredness and lack of searching out and caring, unless they used me for my car, my home, my clothes, travel, or food. And I let them so I could be around them and have some kind of form of relationship. I wrote home once when I moved out of state, and then it was a test. I was in 12-step program, and I called and said, do you think you could just send me $5? Me and my son's having really a hard time eating. She wrote back and says, well, I wish I could, but I don't have $5. That's the first time I'd ever asked her for anything. What are my fears? Rejection. Conditions on the relationship. And there's no way. It's my way or the highway. Why do I have these fears? I guess certain needs weren't met as a child, and it affects me today. I'm afraid to trust and let go and love. Form your solution on the basis of trust in God. Through this program, it's brought me closer to God, and I'm trying to work the steps and do the things that have the tools in this program on a daily basis, and some days are better than others, but I still have these things that crop up, and still, and I'm also in therapy. Shift to helping others. I don't know. I'll hold that. Thanks for sharing that with us. I just want to let you know that, you know, my beginning of my process for any issue that I've had with anyone, particularly family members, is to pray for them, which doesn't seem like it makes sense, but that it really does. And there's a couple of my favorite chapters in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous is a doctor addict, alcoholic, and that's where our acceptance prayer comes from. And then the other one is the last chapter in the book. It's called Freedom from Bondage. And that's on page 552. If you read that, and it will, you know, it tells you word for word what to do. Get down on your knees and say these words. And to do that for 2 weeks, and you will find that your life changes. And I have experienced that. So I would recommend that. Okay.
Hi, I'm Kay, and I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi.
And this is a big risk for me. So, because my resentment has to do with my spouse and my caregiving duties, and I feel so much like Claudette, except in my case, my husband is still, his mind is lucid, but his body is just, you know, he's a big boy. He's in a wheelchair, and he's constantly, you know, I'm just a gopher, you know. I just, you know, I've compromised so much of myself, and I feel my youth slipping away. I'm 72 years old now, and, you know, I feel like I'm running out of time, and I'm very ill. I mean, I don't look ill, but I have a lot of physical problems besides my weight. You know, I've had 2 knee replacements. You know, I've got terrible back problems. I'm always having epidurals and whatever. And I just feel like, you know, I can hardly take it anymore. And I thought I could come here by myself, and I'm not by myself. And so you'll see me wandering around with my other half. So that's why I say it's a risk. So I trust that this room will keep my secret. I just feel very unappreciated. My husband has very high entitlement issues. He always has had. He's my third spouse. I'm his third spouse. We've been married for 23 years. But the last 8 or 10 years since he's been in this condition where he's been wheelchair bound has been very hard for me. As far as relationships, I feel everything is out of alignment. I gave up my abstinence, although that's a poor me story. My dreams, my feelings of dependence and not wanting to think about a future of caregiving. So I don't want to think about another relationship or anything. I just want to be done with it. And I don't feel that I've been really self-centered. And my dishonesty is in the pretense that it could be worse, you know. I tell people, well, you know, thank God he's okay, blah, blah, you know, but I don't really feel that way anymore. I get angry. And I'm afraid that I won't have the courage of my convictions to be independent at any time in the future when I will be by myself. And my mistakes have been my dependence and my believing in I'm not enough. I've always believed that I'm not enough. I was brought up that way as an only child and being of the wrong gender. So, you know, and I seem to have in 3 marriages married my father every single time. So maybe my resentment is really towards my father and not my husband. But anyway, you know, it's a hard thing. And now he's, you know, God bless him, he's a good man, and he's in home hospice right now. And he just keeps hanging on. He has everything in the world wrong with him. You know, he's got so many diagnoses, and he just keeps hanging in there. And I know part of it is because I'm a good caregiver, but it's, you know, it's cost me. So anyway, thank you for listening to me.
I'm Suzanne. I'm a compulsive eater. I'm very grateful. Very wordy. What am I resentful of? That I cannot be the perfect person I want to be. That I feel bad about myself and my behavior. but I feel bad about myself and my behavior, that I feel less than, and it gets me stuck and not moving forward. Security makes me feel timid and insecure and not want to open my mouth at all and want to isolate with personal relationships. I feel like people then don't want to be around me or feel I'm very self-absorbed and self-centered and not present to their feelings. I've made numerous mistakes, speaking without thinking, hurting others, feeling that they don't want to be around me. I have had many times, sometimes I've not been honest with others about my feelings, so that I feel they might judge me. I've also been dishonest with myself, not taking in the love that they want to give me. At times, not wanting to fully share my feelings with others, and at other times sharing inappropriately. I'm afraid of disappointing myself and others. What are my fears? I'm afraid to take responsibilities for my actions, where I've been wrong, and also I'm afraid to give myself completely. So I've always thought that by doing this, I am selfish, taking credit for things. I have these fears because I have not completely surrendered and accepted. My solution is to take in the love for myself and others, take risks and contrary action, trust a higher power will give me what I cannot do for myself, as it has in the program of this recovery. Acceptance and surrender is always the key. I can make a living amends to myself by taking action and letting others love me and taking that love in until I can love myself. I can ask as if that I am loved by others. I love myself and know that I will take right action if I accept myself as I am and let God do the rest.
My name is Marty, and I'm a compulsive eater.
I'm Marty.
And this is a bit of a big risk for me as well. What you hear here, please let it stay here. I'm really, this is the third meeting this week where I've had this topic of resentment come up, and it's the same thing. I am trying to release this. My ex-husband was a pedophile, and he married me under that situation. I was 19 when I met him. He was 35. And I did not realize this until just recently. He has been inappropriate with four of his daughters, and now is continuing on with my granddaughter. I am so angry and so disappointed, not just in him, but in me, because I didn't know, I wasn't aware, I was so self-centered, and I believe, and this is why I keep working on this. The feelings of abuse of these three generations make me feel that I didn't do my job. That although I was there, I was expecting other things out of the relationship and didn't pay attention to what was going on. The mistakes that I made, I was very self-centered. I shut down and I expected things from him and wanted things from him, and consequently I didn't see the true facts of what was going on. I feel that I need to make sure that I talk to someone that this stops. I've seen it happen personally within the last month with one of my granddaughters, where he put his hands on her inappropriately. And then at the same time, I could try to get close to him, and he put his hands back on me. I've been divorced from this man for over 20 years, and I feel it's time to stop this process. Setting aside what I think of others, it says here, honestly, where have I been wrong? Was I only focused, is my answer, on what I needed in the relationship? Was there mainly my concern about security and financial gain? did I think that I was paying a different price, and so consequently gave up those things that I wanted for what I thought I was getting. And now I've felt like I'm victimized, years after the fact. What are my fears out of this? That someone will know. So I'm only as sick as my secret. I need to let this out. I need to share it and get it out of my system. I can't allow this to be embarrassing anymore. It's time, but I'm so angry and so resentful that sometimes I feel I can't ever let it go. The next part that I answered was, I do trust in God. Part 8 of this is, what forms of solutions? I will share. I will release this. I'll believe in my higher power. Because I now have lost 140 pounds, and I'm not using food to fix this anymore, which I did for the last 50 years. And so consequently, my target for addictive behavior has shifted. I keep trying to find other solutions, but the true solution is to believe in a higher power and to work on this and not use food to fix it. Thank you.
Sherry, a compulsive eater.
Hi, Sherry.
My resentment is towards my parents. Can you hear me?
Maybe you need to hold it because it's too
low. Oh, okay. Are my parents, this is a constant issue. I have a brother that's in and out of prison, and every time he comes out, he has a new house, he has a new vehicle, he has clothes, he has everything. I've always struggled. I'm a single mom. And they were never there to help me. And so I've always worked two jobs, did what I had to do to support my kids. The cause of my anger is because my parents always favored my brother, always helped him, and he could do bad. I was the good one because I didn't want to cause waves, and never got a knowledge for anything that I've done. Try to say that I'm successful, own my own house, had a business, and I never still feel good enough or ever feel that if I fall down that I'll ever be able to get up. Right now I'm unemployed and my parents are, well, just let your house go. Just let it go. Walk away from it. You'll figure it out. You always figure out how to survive. And, you know, so if you don't have a house, but well. And I've been there 21 years. My twins are 21. How does this affect my feelings about myself, my goal, my sense of security, my personal relationships? I always feel abandoned. I don't ask for help because I always figure my way, I'll figure out a way, like I've been told. No one has to worry about me because I'm independent. I always have the fear of being homeless. And in my town, I'm from Fresno, there is a extensive amount of homeless, and also when I was in school I did a report on homeless, so I get kind of fearful that that's kind of a premonition that I'm supposed to be paying attention to and get prepared for, and that's my sick mind. I become angry, withdrawn, non-trusting. I don't want to listen to anybody. I don't want to be supported because it's not going to happen anyway. I feel invisible and rejected. What mistakes have I made? Have I been self-centered, dishonest, inconsiderate, and afraid? I have lied to make myself sound better because of the embarrassment of my background. I've had rage. I've had trouble accepting others for what they were. I've always had expectations that they should understand where I'm at. And I constantly repeat the same old tapes over and over from my past, and it keeps me stuck. Setting aside what I think others have done to me, honestly, where have I been wrong? I've been wrong by expecting and expecting and keep expecting with the same results, with my same insanity, based on doing their inventory, focusing on my brother and what a screw-up he is, have jealousy and envy and learn don't ask for anything because you're pushed aside and you're never going to get it anyway because you'll always find a way. One of my fears, again, being homeless and nobody being there, not even my kids. Never good enough to be successful. Never good. And I have been successful. I've been in management. Not that that makes a difference, but I'm saying that I do have capability of pulling out of that and being successful. It's just when I get there, I feel like I don't deserve it. And that I didn't work hard enough, or I didn't do something, or I wasn't how I should have been. Why do I have these fears? Because I feel like I've never been taken care of. I've always been abandoned. I've let people take advantage of me and abuse me, regardless that I'm 6'1 and been married to 5'9 or whatever, abusive alcoholic. So I look strong, but it's just a fake God thing that I was given. And someday that I'll be old and not be able to do the things that I'm independent, that I do independently. My solutions on the basis of trusting God and not self is I have to come to believe He will always be there for me and that He is always going to be trusting and never let me down. He will help me work my program, do my inventory, and try to eliminate my independent ways of thinking and that my independent way works. Where is it possible and not harmful, make it right with the other person by making amends. First thing I can do is make amends to myself by forgiving and not obsessing what my parents are doing for my brother or the situation that he is in. And to shift to helping others by doing service, working a stronger program, instead of it using excuses to slip and cover up the pain. Thank you.
Maggie, compulsive eater.
I'm
resentful at my daughter for being critical and for resenting me and for blaming me for various things. She has a wonderful life. She was raised with me, and when she was 4 years old, I came to the program, and I still made all those mistakes. Yeah, and so she likes to point them out, and I run those comments through my head, like, you know, she said the other day that she had never been celebrated. I've never been celebrated, she says, regarding birthday. I knocked myself out as a single mother, and I feel like she's wrong, and I would like her to say to me one day, "I'm so wrong, Mom. I don't know why I resented you, but I really appreciate everything you did for me." She's never going to do that. What is the cause of my anger? I feel hurt. I'm emotionally upset. Whenever I go out there, which is once a month, I go to Colorado and take care of the little granddaughter and who I'm crazy about. And I feel like I'm the whipping boy for her resentment. How does this affect my feelings about myself? I feel like I've failed. I blame myself. It depresses me. I want to justify what I did and all the mistakes I made. I feel tired from the whole situation. It affects my, it gives me depression, makes me feel that it's hopeless. Okay. And what mistakes did I make? I was focused on my own recovery. I was self-centered. The kids were deprived of my presence by me doing a lot of therapy and a lot of 12-step groups. I was unable to buy a decent house when we got a divorce. I lived in sort of a bad area. I think that in my fear of her being angry, I tried to people please her, and that was a mistake. I've never been a really disciplinarian type mother. I was kind of weak and back down and everything. Setting aside what others think, what I think others have done to me, honestly, where have I been wrong? I hit my kids. I was just tired and depressed all the time, and I was critical of them. My fears are that my granddaughter and my daughter and my son-in-law will disrespect me, and we won't have a good relationship. Fear of being rejected, feeling lonely. Why do I have these fears? I don't want to be rejected. I don't want to be lonely. I've had those fears of being rejected and being lonely since I was young. Form your solutions on the basis of God, a Christian God, not self. So I thought, pray for her daily. There's a process I know that you can do, page 552, yeah. I've known about that, and I forget it. Talk to her honestly about, even seek help for the relationship. I could ask to that we might go through some sort of family therapy. Stop trying to please her so that she'll forgive me. Maybe I could also go to Al-Anon for myself. That came out on number 8. And number 9, where it is possible and not harmful, make it right with the other person by making amends. I've been kind of trying to make amends over the years, but like, it doesn't work. What I've been doing has not been effective. I thought I was making a big amends when I inherited some money and I gave her $10,000. That's not evidently the right way to do it. I thought this will fix it, you know. But and then it says shift to helping others. I'm not sure what my thoughts on that are. Thank you.
Well, that was some really pretty powerful stuff, you guys. And I really encourage you to keep talking about it. Share with your sponsor. It's probably the closest relationship that I have today is with a sponsor. And I think she knows me better than most or anyone ever has. And don't let things just continue to hang. Do some more writing. And just know from what I shared with you is that there is recovery from all of this. You know, we learn to take responsibility for our part. We can heal our part. We can pray for others. And, God steps in and, lives change. And I've seen miracle after miracle in this program. So I think we can wrap it up, and if you'd like to, why don't we join a circle, and we can, maybe it's too big for that, maybe just across the rows or some way just hook up and we can say the Serenity Prayer together. There we go. Good job. Okay, God, grant us the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. Keep coming back. It works if you work it, and you're worth it, so work it.